Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, here we go. The Scary Cast Network music.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's the music they play in divorce court.
Last laugh is your wife's lawyer.
Wow. All right.
Who is
flashing
this? I think it's usually a little bit deeper than that.
Yeah, that's all fading in and out on my end. So hopefully everybody can hear me. Hopefully I'll be able to hear everybody else because I was getting the in and out effect on the scary music intro that we have here, taking root of pop culture stars. Anywho, welcome to tonight's show for 1-18-23. As the year 2023 continues its beat down of humanity, I knew this year was going to suck. So far, it has lived up to expectations. Nevertheless, hope everybody out there is doing fantastic, or at least ways getting by the best they can. I am your host, Dave Atwell, here in a brisk Jacksonville. It was better today, but it got chilly overnight, so had to dress accordingly. So while I'm lighting up my delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars, I'm going to kick it around to my most esteemed panel, see how everybody's doing this evening. So first off, in that wonderful state of Arkansas, just, let's see, I'm looking at the geography, east of where all my exes are at. Y'all know the song. Granny Holster, how are you doing this evening, ma'am?
Well, I'm very well, Dave. What an introduction. That's pretty funny, but I'm good. I mean, things have been a little crazy, but, you know, it is what it is, but, you know, I'm good, you know, I'm dealing with it, so.
Good deal, yeah. Hopefully, yeah, it's everybody's been taking a whipping so far this week, so hopefully things will turn around. I mean, it's the law of averages. Things can't be bad news all the time, but I totally understand. It is something to behold out there right now, but persevere, I reckon. But it's great to have you aboard this evening. Thank you for joining us, as always. So I'm going to slide to the east, the northeast, or as I alluded to it as the west-east last week, to the fine city of Indianapolis and the outlying regions where the alpaca roam and drive above the speed limit. Tim, what's happening, buddy?
Don't call it the Middle East. Like, I think his character name is Brick or something from Anchorman, the weatherman, refers to the Middle East.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing wonderful in the, what I guess around here we refer to as the Midwest, but nevertheless, east and north, I guess, of Granny. My geography's bad, so I can't confirm that. Anyway, it's rainy outside. I don't care. I'm inside. It's rather warm. I haven't had too bad of a week, but I'm going to shut my mouth because it's not over. And I'm just looking forward to a good show. It's a short introduction from Westfield, Indiana. Back over to you, Dave.
Outstanding. Good to have you aboard this evening. And I'm still looking for a sweet spot to stand where everything's breaking up back and forth. I have come to the conclusion that the land I own is a giant dead spot, and I'm sure there's some type of dead dead foreign dignitary, ancient dignitary of some type or another, that's buried on my property, and I have yet to find him slash her slash it. And for some reason, I can never get a decent. Now, if a bill collector is calling, I could get it loud and clear, but if I'm trying to speak to a friend or family member, everything's always breaking up. Nevertheless, Tim, to have you good board, good to have you aboard, Stephen. Thank you for joining us. Now I'm going to head south, back to the coast, south of me, down there to the Myrtle Beach, Myrtle's Inlet Ballpark, and introduce my good brother and man of the world, Dr. John. What's going on?
I'll tell you what, it's great to be here with you, Dave. After last week's show, I am certain you're one of the most talented hosts we've ever had. You're a lot better than me. That was a great show. I'm sorry I was truly in parts unknown, and I didn't know what. Even my GPS was lost. But that's okay. And it's been the biggest red letter day in history for our network. Because, first of all, I got a phone call from the executive producer of Ground Zero, Ron Palmer. Ron Patton, I'm sorry. And it turns out Ground Zero is the number one paranormal show in the world from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Time, starring Clyde Logan. It is incredible. And so what has happened is they have selected ScaryCast and its new affiliate network on Roku TV. We'll be announcing the name next week. We are going to be the first online purveyors of Ground Zero for 3 hours a night. And it's just like, I mean, that's the biggest thing that's ever happened to me. I mean, they know what's going on. And they selected the ScaryCast Network to have Ground Zero. And that's going to be just incredible. So we're going to be launching it the first week of February. And I'll let everybody know exactly what's happening. But we'll have the link every night live, Clyde Logan. It's going to be great. They have a ton of listeners. And it's going to bring a ton of people to the ScaryCast Network, including pop culture stars. So take that, everybody. We did it, and nobody else did.
That's awesome.
I just hope they didn't hear Monday night's show. Oh, my God.
That means we need to straighten up.
No, it means keep on doing what you're doing, because we love pop culture stars, and I do. So thank you, and I thank all three of you. And I decided to jump on because I think I started this show like forever ago, and I never knew it was going to grow to this really wonderful network of programs and fun and everything. Now, tomorrow night, we will be having ScaryCast Tuesday because we had there was a glitch in the Matrix last night, and we couldn't get on. So we'll have it there, and then Old Time Horror School Movies is going to be on Friday night with me and Robbie Hipkins. So it's going to be absolutely grand. We got great entertainment every night for everybody in the world, and we really appreciate all of our fan support, all the people that listen, and you know, it's just great to see something good be developing. Oh, by the way, Isaiah Grass, going to be hosting the music portion of our night's broadcast from 6 to 9, and you know, we couldn't have a better pop culture star than the guy that was so popular on American Idol. And Katy Perry jumped up and put her arm around him and sang with him at his audition. I mean, that's kind of how you know that you're doing okay. So Isaiah Grass will be on here, and it's just great. So anyway, thanks a lot, and I'm going to shut up now because I talk too much, Dave Atwell, and I'll let you talk because you are the host with the most on Wednesday nights. Are you there, Dave?
Uh-oh.
Did we lose
you?
Yeah,
I am totally dropping out. Can you guys hear me clear?
Yes,
perfectly.
Okay, very good. So just real quick, like, Tim, are you there?
I am here.
All right, Granny.
Can you hear me?
I am here, too.
Yeah, it's fading in and out for some reason. But I'm not fading in and out, am I?
No, you're not.
You're perfect.
Not on my end.
We didn't hear you talk after Dr. John.
After Dr. John.
Yeah.
After Dr. John couldn't keep his mouth shut.
No, you're good. I'm trying to find out why I can't seem to keep everything on a steady. Everything's going in and out again like it was doing last week. And I don't know if it's something on my end or what. I'm out here. I mean, I can't be any more out in the open than what I am right now, for crying out loud. So hopefully.
You know what, Dave, this is Dr. Yeah. John. When I'm driving on the highway and I know I've got tons of signal and someone says, I can't hear you, someone says, I can't hear you, and I think to myself, well, of course you can hear me. I got 100% signal. I got 5 bars. How can you not hear me? It must be you.
Yeah, that's what stinks. Like, I got full bars. That's why I don't know why this darn thing is fading in and out like this. And I'm walking all over.
Well, you're not fading in and out on my end. You're coming in loud and clear on my end.
Can I tell you the problem, Dave?
What's that?
You've got two signals going on. You've got the incoming signal and the outgoing signal. The incoming signal is having problems, but the outgoing signal is perfect. And that's what's happening. Because you got two channels, and cell phone is 1G. That's why you can get cell phone when you can't get 3G, 4G, and 5G. So anyway, the deal. You've got one of your signals is bad.
Yeah, I'd sell for half a G right now just to get things falling in. Now, it appears I've gotten a sweet spot here, so I guess I need to do the Statue of Liberty and not move for the next 90 minutes.
Oh, say, can you see?
Hopefully I won't cramp up. We shall see. What a pain in the neck working its way downward. I swear. Ah, man. If I could just get one thing to work correctly. Jeez Louise. How many more days are left in this year now? Is it Christmas yet?
Well, let's see. Jeez. This is January 18th.
365 minus 18.
Jeez. I do declare. Anywho, sounds like we're getting things a little cleared up now. We'll play it by ear. That's fantastic news, Dr. John. And I'm sorry I didn't sound more excited when you were speaking on it, because I was getting bits and chunks of it, but I've kind of pieced everything together now.
Yep.
But, yeah, that's excellent news.
Gas Network is
your
first
to carry
Ground Zero podcast, the number one paranormal podcast in the world, universally, in all four ratings, in all four charts. It is number one. We're going to get a ton of listeners, and I'm just so grateful. Okay. We're going to have Scary Cast. We'll have Scary Cast Tuesday. We'll have old school horror films. And then on Wednesday, we will have none other than Pop Culture Stars, the longest running show on our network.
And we're number one in abnormal instead of paranormal. So,
I know that. That's all right.
Oh, man. But, yeah, that's
Dave,
great.
Dave, you're an incredible host. And I don't congratulate you enough.
I fake it well. That's all I do.
Well, that's why I invited you to come with me to Jessica Jones' show the last Wednesday of this month to talk about conspiracy theories are true. That was the best. That was the best verbal essay last week I have ever heard.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's something that was kind of close to my heart. I'm a big baseball guy, and I have no skin in the game. You know, I am not a former major league ball player, nor am I financially tied to any baseball entity or anything, but I am a fan and have been a lifelong fan. I mean, I started watching baseball when I was like 4, and my folks would take me to Comiskey Park in Chicago to watch the White Sox play, and got to see guys like Dickie Allen and Wilbur Wood play ball. And you know, from that point, you know, I played baseball as a kid and through growing up and everything, and became a diehard Braves fan. And you know, I've talked about it on the show here before how that's how Dale and I broke the ice was at a World Series party I was throwing here at the house. So if it wasn't for baseball and my love for it, then would not be with my dear betrothed that I am now. So,
you mean that sweetheart? She is so nice today. Oh, I said that.
I can glaze over
a lot
really
nicer
good.
You are, okay.
But there's a little footnote to last week's rant about the baseball thing. As I was doing some deeper diving, and there's more to the story, believe it or not, but nevertheless, I found out that Major League Baseball actually bought Rawlings. You know the sports equipment company? Major League Baseball, Rawlings made the baseballs for Major League Baseball. So they bought the company, and I'm going, now, wow, how fishy is that? So it's like the casino making the cards. You know what I mean? Imagine going into a casino where the roulette wheel, the keno board, the cards, the dice, and everything are manufactured and designed by the casino you're in. I dare say, here's some financial advice, don't gamble there. So
Dave, I want to jump in on a very important point. It's just almost criminal that Miss Montana USA started this nasty stuff about the winner of Miss USA, Filipino American, and was number one and won Miss Universe, and they've already called in a CPA firm to audit it and everything. And you know what? Yes, there are conspiracy theories, but let's not confuse talent and great work with a conspiracy. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And that's why last week, you know, I had said right off the bat, this is by no means a dig on Aaron Judge and his skills or the Yankee organization. They have absolutely nothing to do with it. And if anything else, they are being exploited for their talents. You know, they're unwilling participants to probably a bigger operation, and it's because of their God-given ability. You know, they're exploited unintentionally by them, but intentionally by Major League Baseball. And the more digging I did on the topic, the madder I got, and the more convinced I got that there was a lot of monkey business, because I even went back and watched Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, normally, let's say the cops come to your house, and the cops come to your house and they say, we think you held up the 7-Eleven Wednesday night. What's the first thing you're going to do? You are going to work your ass off to get up any piece of evidence that you have possibly at hand to show those cops and say, no, that couldn't have been me. I was here, I was here, I was there. You know, I talked to this person, I talked to that person. They knew where I was at. That couldn't have been me. But instead of let's take the same scenario and the cops come up and they say, we think you knocked over to 7-Eleven Wednesday night, and all you say is, wasn't me. People are actually going to take your side because you're not doing anything to make people believers. And, you know, the interviews that he's had, every time the topic comes up, he answers with a, oh, that's ridiculous. Okay, well, make me believe it's ridiculous. You just saying it's ridiculous, all that is the cop-out to me. So, yeah, it's a very interesting thing. It goes a lot deeper, and it does. It's very disappointing as a fan to know that you're watching a sport that you love and the field is tilted before they even take it. And in the event you watched any of the playoffs this weekend, if you guys recall last week, I had mentioned the ineptitude of officiating in pro sports, particularly football and basketball. If you watch any of the playoffs this weekend, my God, how those officials keep their job is beyond me. There was just some evidence. Either they're trying to steer the game in a certain direction, which is criminal, or they're just not up caliber. So, it's what did Robert De Niro say in Casino? You're either a criminal or you're a dumbass. Either you didn't know or you were in on it, you're a criminal, or you didn't know and you're a dumbass. Either way, you're out of here. And same thing can be said about these officials. I mean, because there were some pretty bad calls. And
Dave, not that I ever want to steer away from football. I love the topic. It'd be one of my number one things, to discuss on the show. But I wanted to go back just super quick before I forget. It's funny that you were mentioning that what pointed it out was the Rawling baseball in Major League. I had to laugh because I'm not saying a conspiracy. I suppose you could compare it to, say, a home field advantage when playing, a sport like that, like football or something. But what's real funny, and I don't know if anyone's ever made a big deal of it or not, but the current owner of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is Roger Penske, who has his own racing team. He bought
Correct.
The Indianapolis
Motor Speedway. No, Roger Penske doesn't have his own racing team. Now, does he, even though we all know that? Never mind, Tim. I'll shut up.
So, with that being said, you kind of tend to wonder what type of advantages there could be there. But not saying there is. I don't know. I've not looked it up. My brother is the racing fanatic, not I. Not to say I don't like racing, but he's truly a fanatic. I couldn't tell you anything about the current teams, most of the drivers, the points, who are the buttheads, who are the good guys. I don't know that. I just go to the race and, well, prior to 2 years ago, I would be one of the fans just kind of getting intoxicated watching cars go around real fast. I get into a little bit of the storylines and just, some of the true racing behind it, but he's a true fan. But, yeah, just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Roger Penske.
you know, with racing, it's almost the kind of a moment that I was a diehard NASCAR guy. I used to watch, Dale Earnhardt's another one. You know, when everybody was a Gretzky fan, I was a Brett Hull fan. When everybody was a Jordan fan, I was a Lenny Bias fan, you know, and when everybody was an Earnhardt fan, I was an Ernie Irvin fan. So I've always been the guy that's kind of on the outside of the norm, you know, when it comes down to the fanhood and everything. They had a big thing when Earnhardt died in that wreck. It sucked all the air out of NASCAR because here in the South, and I classify North Carolina, I guess, in the South somehow. But there's God, Jesus Christ, Moses, Dale Earnhardt. And when he died, it sucked all the oxygen out of NASCAR. And everybody was going, what do we do? What do we do? Well, along come two young men, Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson. Both of them had the good hair, the boyish charm and whatnot. And the big thing going on then was that they were cracking down on the teams, and they were making all the cars equal. And they were preaching about all of these, you know, and this was prior to Gordon and Jimmy Johnson coming along, but they started preaching because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that said, well, you know, Rusty Wallace does crooked stuff on his cars, and, you know, and Earnhardt does crooked stuff on his cars, and yak, yak, yak. Well, NASCAR came down, and they said, okay, here's what we're going to do. There's going to be a spec list put on the cars, and all the cars, whether you're Ford, Chevy, or Dodge, you are going to be meeting the exact same specs, so the cars are equal. And so, you know, it didn't go over real big with the traditional NASCAR crowd, but nevertheless, you know, these pre-race inspections ramped up, and, you know, you saw a lot more guys in the white jumpers looking in cars and all that kind of stuff before, during, and after races. So Dale Earnhardt dies, unfortunately, in that wreck, and all of a sudden there's a void in NASCAR. You know, who's going to sell the most loot? Who's going to take all that fan base? Where's it all going to go? And NASCAR at the time was trying to modernize itself, to kind of get itself out of the Richard Petty era, if you will, the good old boy. They were trying to expand. They just didn't want it to be a dozen states in the Southeast. They wanted to branch out. They wanted to hold races in California, and they wanted to hold races in Chicago and Las Vegas and all this kind of stuff. But there wasn't a whole lot of fan base out in these other regions. So Dale Earnhardt dies, and then all of a sudden you get these two golden boys come up. Like I said, the good looks, the old boyish charm. And, you know, Jimmy Johnson, of course, I believe is from California. So all of a sudden every race is being won by either Jimmy Johnson or Jeff Gordon. And I remember watching races, and, you know, Jimmy Johnson would be down by six laps, and they'd have, you know, 25 laps to go, and he'd be down six laps. And next thing you know, you get up, take a leak, and you come back, he's down five laps. Then you go get you another beer, come back, he's down three laps. And then, you're watching, next thing you know, he's down two laps. Now he's on the lead lap again. And before you know it, here it is. There's seven laps to go in the race, and he's in the top six. So if all the cars were equal, how in the hell was this guy, and Gordon for that matter, able to do that? And for me, it just totally disenchanted me. And I quit watching and haven't been back since. So, you know, Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson are all retired now, and I'm still not watching. So, you know, did it bankrupt NASCAR? No, but it's one less T-shirt they sold. One less ticket they sold. So, again, not saying anything, but it's got to make you wonder. Uh-oh. Not hearing anybody. Guys, you're still out there?
I'm here. No, I was just okay. Thinking, you know, you kind of laid it on the line, Dave, and I like what you said. They were separate but not equal. Oh, my goodness, what a phrase.
But, again, when it comes down to conspiracies, again, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, as they say, but now the cliche thing to do now is that when you call something that's out of character, okay, you know, every time my next door neighbor's nephew comes to the house, things turn up missing. Have I seen him taking things? No, but it's just kind of strange that every time he's here, things turn up missing. All right, so when I bring it to said people who can fix the problem, instead of saying, well, look into it, appreciate you bringing that to my attention, 99% of people right now go, you're crazy. You're nuts. You're out of your mind. And, you know, when sketchy stuff is happening, we can't be afraid to ask questions. I don't give a damn what nobody says. And I think that's where we're heading right now as a society, is that we're getting – I know being gaslighting is now a cliched word that they're using so much now, it's losing its potency, but they are gaslighting people into thinking, don't speak up, don't say anything, don't ask questions. And, you know, COVID was a perfect example of it. How is it that they're shutting down my wife's because one person sneezed? But yet you can go to Walmart and there's 3,000 people wandering around Walmart. You know, how is it you can go out and riot and burn down Seattle and not catch it? But the kids will catch it if they go to school and get educated. People have to ask questions about these things.
Very true.
That is true.
So there's my rant.
Very, very true.
All right. Are we still out there, guys? I swear I'm
still here. I'm still here.
There we go.
I've been listening to the great conversation, so, I mean. Very,
the
very
audio
well
on my end.
Validated points, you know, that you're making.
But if we get to a point where we're just not asking questions, and you don't have to be combative about it, just ask why. Just bring up these points, and as I always tell people, make me believe. Convince me, because if you do, then I got a big mouth. I'd be a good guy to have on your side. But I'm not going to be on your side as long as I think you're full of it. So it's your job to convince me. I mean, how many times you got your kids in school, right? And your kids are bringing home kind of janky grades, and you're going, hey, what's going on in social studies, man? You know, what's going on with your grades in social studies? And your kid says, well, the teacher's a bitch. all right? And you're going, okay, I don't want to hear that. You need to buckle down. You need to do your work better. You need to do this, that, and the other. So, you know, you end up doing a teacher's conference or you go to some, you know, program at the school and you meet the social studies teacher and you lean over to your wife or husband and go, wow, they are a bitch. You know, there's validation that comes with that. But like I said, now the thing is that when you bring up questions, people are very quick to tell you that you're nuts. And to me, now if somebody tells me I'm nuts, I don't even second guess myself anymore. I believe in myself even more when people tell me I'm nuts, because that is the cop out now, the quick go-to for people who aren't willing or can't prove their point, you know?
Well, I tell you, when my son was in school, I mean, you know, he had a learning disability. He was in resource all of his life, and some of the resource teachers he had was really great. Others not so great. And I had a couple teachers throughout his school years that I had to deal with, and it wasn't pleasant. And I remember going to an open house with my son, and my mom went with us, and he was the PE teacher, he was the health teacher, he was the football coach, I don't know, you know, what else he did, but he was walking around and he had like a paper rolled up in his hand, and he was thumping that paper on his hand, you know, and here I was trying to talk to him, and he was just, the whole time I was talking to him, he was sitting there with that paper, thumping that paper on his hand, like he didn't even want to talk to me. And yeah. I remember one time my son had a broken ankle, and he had a doctor's note that he could not participate in PE. That teacher was going to flunk my son because he could not play flag football. And I said, he is on crutches. How do you expect him to do flag football on crutches? And if it wasn't for me helping my son his senior year with his health homework, he probably would have never graduated. I mean, I had one school tell him when he was in the ninth grade, talking about him like he was not even in the room, oh, we're not going to hold him back because of his age and because of his size. And I'm like, he's sitting right here, you know. And then there was one incident where I think it was sixth grade, his teacher was talking to parents about my son, and I said, if you have a problem with my son, you need to come to me and not be talking to other parents about my child. I mean, there was so many incidences where, I mean, I could have just, you know, it was horrible.
Yeah. But had Anthony come home and just blindly said, I'm getting bad grades there because coach is a dumbass, you probably
would have
bought. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. You know, but what I saw, you know, yeah, he was.
Yeah, there was validation. And that's exactly my point, is that when you know, when these things go down, Major League Baseball, if they want me to believe that they're not doing something with the baseballs, explain to me why you bought the company that made the baseballs. Hey, do you realize how fishy that is? Do you know what I mean? And that's the part that gets under my skin, is that it's the Kennedy assassination. How many times have we talked about the Kennedy assassination here on the show? It's been, you know, those classified documents had a 50-year shelf life. After 50 years, they're supposed to be released, and we're all supposed to get the truth. Everything they know, we're supposed to know. And that's the reason why. Matter of fact, COVID, they bring up COVID again. You know that whatever they're putting in those shots and all that information isn't be released for 75 years? You want to know why it's under lock and key for 75 years? Is because all the people that can retell. Exactly. So the Kennedy assassination happened 60 years ago, and they still haven't released the documents. Why? Because if there was nothing to hide, they'd already been out there, right? If you've got nothing to hide, why go through the effort of hiding shit? It's kind of like me. Do you think I've got money stashed around my house? Hell no. I'm broke. There's no need to hide money. I ain't got to hide in the first place.
Now, Dave.
If something's free, I still can't buy it.
Now, Dave, I want to remind you of something. I told you that I would tell you unequivocally who shot Kennedy. I know the answer.
Well, Dr. John,
I told this on Jessica Jones' show, Glitch in the Matrix, in front of 20,000 people, and they were stunned. They didn't know this, but here's the answer. I hate to butt in, but you're talking about my topic.
No, because
now.
That's what we talked about at the beginning of the show, so please, make me a believer.
All right. Okay, all right. Well, let me tell you about this. The backstory tells it all. I had just finished working at the Ryan Research Institute. I knew everyone in the paranormal world. And I saw that Andy Basiago was on Coast to Coast AM, which is the number three paranormal show in the world, not number one like Ground Zero. So I just ventured forth. I called information, and I got Andy Basiago's number. And I called him and said, "Hey, Andy, this is John Stamey, and I work with Sally Ryan Feather at the Ryan Research Institute. And I saw you were on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie, and I'd love to talk to you." You know what he said? "I'd love to talk to you." And I knew this was my lucky day. So I said, "Okay, tell me about Project Pegasus." He said, "Okay, here's what happened. The government took all of Tesla's work back when he died in the early 40s.
Uh-huh.
And they took it. And they were able to engineer/reverse engineer the most amazing stuff, including time travel. And they found out that it was relatively straightforward to send somebody back in time." I said, "Okay, great." So I said, "Tell me what kinds of experiments that you did." He said, "Well, they seem to be fascinated with the research question, who shot Lincoln?" And I couldn't figure out why, but I wanted to know more. It wasn't until a couple of years later that I saw exactly why they did it. It was a genius experiment. So what they did is they took kids between the age of 11 and 13, and they sent them back in time to the Ford Theater. And they did almost 150 samples. And do you know what the results were? He told me this, and I said, this is unlike anything I've ever heard. 70% of the time, John Wilkes Booth shot Lincoln. 20% of the time, Mary Todd Lincoln shot Abraham Lincoln. And 10%
what?
Of the time, it was a random somebody else. Yeah. So the answer
so
is
why would
70%.
Shoot?
Do what?
Why would Mary Todd Lincoln shoot?
I'll get to that. It's the most amazing. You won't believe what I'm going to tell you, because this experiment, what it did, and I realized it showed the existence of multiple time streams. So in general, John Wilkes Booth shot Lincoln. But there were times when Mary Todd Lincoln shot Abraham Lincoln, and then there were times when somebody else shot Lincoln. So that is the unequivocal answer based on Project Pegasus and Tesla technology. So now, I think many of us know the conspiracy behind John Wilkes Booth. But why did Mary Todd Lincoln want to shoot Abraham Lincoln? They had four kids. He slept with her four nights. Did you know that?
Well, he's got a pretty good bullseye ratio. I mean, he's definitely hitting the target, apparently.
Yep. And if I told you, you would probably cut me off of this podcast. So I'm going to say he slept with her four times, and he procreated four kids. Two of them died, I believe, and the other two stayed alive. So the point is, it's a statistical thing. There are multiple time streams. And if there are multiple time streams, there are multiple results. So whoever came up with that experiment was a genius, because they proved the existence of multiple time streams. There you go. That's what happened. That's the ratio. And if you want to know who shot John Fitzgerald Kennedy, I'll tell you the results. 30% of the time, it was Lyndon Baines Johnson responsible for that conspiracy. 30% of the time, it was J. Edgar Hoover responsible for that. 20% of the time, it was the mafia. It was the Sicilian mafia. Because, as you know, the Kennedy family was in charge. They ran Boston. Okay? And then a fraction of the time, it was somebody that knew Marilyn Monroe, like 4% of the time. So what I'm saying is these are all statistical probabilities of what really happened. Now, I think all of us, because 70% of the time is a lot of the percent of the time, 70% of the time it was John Wilkes Booth shot Lincoln. And that's a lot of percent of the time. But there were instances when Mary Todd Lincoln shot him. And there were instances where someone else shot him. So that is the unequivocal correct answer, because we live in a universe with multiple time streams. And I can't wait for the men in black to knock on my door.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, though, because I was watching something this afternoon briefly about how there's theories out there that we're just kind of living in replay, how there's the other Daves out there, that the daily decisions that I make, the Dave in this universe decided to go run for a pack of cigarettes in the middle of the night and got shot in a holdup. Or perhaps this Dave in this reality, was a non-drinker, and his life took a whole different course because he didn't drink a little or a lot. He didn't drink at all. And it's something to actually wonder about, man, because, are there alternate, are we actually in the now right now with ourselves? Are we actually being the it, or are we actually just kind of running scripts, so to speak, in our lives? And whoever the Dave is out there that's having a better time than me right now, be there multiples of them, how about kicking a little bit over my way, guys? We're all on the same team here. Quit letting me take all the shit. What do you say, guys? Give me a little sunshine over here.
So now you are starting to see evidence of people saying things like this, that there are multiple time streams, right?
Yep.
Are you there, Dave?
Yeah, I'm fading in and out again. Yeah, I'm fading in and out, so I'm trying to find a sweet spot to stand. Damn, y'all hear that? There's some out in the woods getting it. No, go ahead and repeat yourself, John, so that way I can give an intelligent answer.
Or a semi-intelligent. You're beginning to see evidence of people talking about multiple time streams. It's not crazy. It's reality. It's how the universe is put together.
Yeah, I mean, it's anything's possible when it comes down to that kind of stuff. You know, we really don't know everything. And that was something that that I was talking about this week, you know, going back to the Kincaid Caves thing we were speaking on, where they were finding the Egyptian relics and that kind of jazz in that cave in the Grand Canyon. If you stop and look at the implications that it would make, could you imagine that if somebody somehow or another was able to disprove Christianity? I know that sounds pretty deep, but if somebody was able to come up through science, through technology, through archaeology, and find out that maybe perhaps there were higher forms of life prior to the introduction of Christianity, and what it would do to the globe in itself, not from a Bible sales standpoint, but if you look, you know, look at the countries that their laws, you know, the Ten Commandments, for crying out loud, you know, the countries, the Constitution is basically a sequel to the Ten Commandments, so to speak. And, you know, it's a Christian-based set of laws here in the United States. So could you imagine if they were to find something that somehow lessened the importance or the impact that Christianity makes globally and historically? I mean, it would be huge. So, of course, they'd want to keep that under wraps. Going back to the Raiders of the Lost Ark thing, when they find the Raider, you know, when they find the Lost Ark and it's, you know, we've got our top men looking at it and they put it in a way in the back of the warehouse where nobody can get to it. You know, I totally believe that would happen.
Okay.
I mean, because we got people out there right now. You go out to the store right now and you walk in Walmart and there's still people in there. There'll be one guy in there walking around with a mask and rubber gloves on. And you want to walk up to the guy and you appreciate the fact that he can do that if he wants. I'm not going to call him nuts and I'm not going to call him wrong. If that's what he wants to do, he can do it. That's fine. But from a logical standpoint, you're the only guy that's doing it. And nobody else is dropping dead. So, you know, you got to think this thing through. And, you know, that's where a lot of that's at. You know, we've got a society right now that, you know, we have to put wet floor signs out. We have to put up signs that say wet paint. You know, as if the smell of paint and the shiny walls and the painters walking around with buckets of paint in their hand ain't enough to clue you in that the walls are wet with paint. We have to have freaking signs up to tell you that the walls are wet with paint.
Well, oh, no, Dave, we have to, I mean, because nobody looks.
So could you imagine that they actually introduce some type of damn theory or some type of proof that we're living on multiple timelines? Christ almighty, we got people that can't manage the one they're on now.
That's true. So anyway, there's the unequivocal answer to who shot Lincoln and who shot Kennedy. I mean, that's the answer. I mean, whether you like the answer or not, that's the answer. It's a statistical answer. It's when I heard that, Andy Basiago told me that, and I said, that was done by someone that did research. I've never heard of an answer like that. And I'm trying to get it out as hard and fast as I can. It was like, wow. I mean, whatever.
Well, we cannot
Thank you for letting me complain and talk, and there we go.
We cannot have a show on conspiracy theories and not bring up Area 51.
Oh, yeah.
I see we get the ball rolling.
All right, Tim, you brought it up. Start talking.
See, I was going to rely on you as the experts. I honestly, in all my days, I am sad to say, I don't know much about it other than the very high level, alien autopsy. I believe that's where the videos came out back from the 60s, whatever, the actual alien autopsy. But here the whole time they keep it locked down. They tell us that's where, what, they design aircrafts or test them or work on, do weapons testing. I don't know, but... I think that the major conspiracy that came out of there, if I'm not mistaken anyway, points to that is where they have done, they've got an alien spacecraft. They've done tests with it. They've done autopsy. And I'll let you guys take it. I have a feeling you guys are a lot more knowledgeable. I had to bring it up because someone's got to talk about it.
Well, a good example for that, when you talk about, make me a believer, if we jump in a time machine and go back 20 years, I would still be saying, that's a bunch of malarkey. But over the years, and a big part of it is doing the show here where I've, tried to study for, topics on the, so I could speak on them better and everything. When I listened to Bob Lazar, who worked at Area 51, when I listened to that gentleman talk, I listen because he just isn't shooting from the hip. When he speaks, he has dates, people, places, weather. I mean, the guy is able to speak matter-of-factly and consistently matter-of-factly about these events. So if you ask him a question in 2006, he's still answering it the exact same way in 2023. And so when you hear him speak, it's hard for the needle not to move when he speaks, because he does have stuff to back it up with. He does have, though it may be circumstantial, it may just be his word against everybody else's, but when the consistency is there and the depth is there, you got to give it time. You've got to give it some credence. And here recently, I was reading up, we all remember the movie Fire in the Sky from the late 70s, early 80s. I can't remember when it came out, about the five lumber, I think they were all lumber guys, not lumberjacks, but they were all...
It was the Travis Walton
timber
story.
Yeah. Well, the guy who was taken away, if you will, the guy that was abducted, if you will, to this day, he tells the story exactly the same way he told the story 40 years ago. And, I know people say, you tell a lie long enough, you start believing it yourself. I get that. But it's very hard to tell the same story 1,000 times and not throw a curve into it.
It's just human nature. Interrogation.
Right.
Police do that when they interrogate because they want to see how many times you slip up your own story.
Right. You're going to leave certain details out. I'm talking to Tim, and I told Tim that I said it 5 times, but then when I talked to John, I told him I said it 3 times, but then when I talked to Granny, I can't remember whether I told Tim 5 or 3. And so I tell Granny 4, and all three of you come together, I tell the same story, and then when I say six, everybody, you know, Tim's like, oh, well, he said five when he's talking to me, and Dr. John's, hey, well, he said three, and Granny's like, hey, he said four, you know. But when you're able to tell the same story consistently over and over and over, and more importantly, over time, because I'm here to tell you, the memory thing, I always prided myself on being a guy with a good memory, especially with names. But I'm here to tell you, the last probably 4 years of my life, I can't keep up with names to save my ass. I mean, I will have people come up and introduce themselves, and 2 minutes later, I can't remember who in the hell they said, what they said their name was. So for a guy to be able to repeat the story with such consistency, there's got to be some type of credence there. There's got to be some type of credibility. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Oh, here I go again, breaking in and out. Can you guys
can
hear me all
hear
right?
You. Yep, I can.
Uh-oh. Am I losing everybody?
No, I'm here.
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay, cool. The way the phone's been all night, I keep worried that I'm going to lose everybody. Don't go. But that's
what I hate sometimes. What I hate sometimes is somebody will come up and talk to you, and you're like, okay, I know that person, but I don't remember where I know that person from. I hate that because then it bugs me like all day, all night, dawns on me like several hours later who that person was, you know? I mean, that drives me crazy sometimes. I mean.
Yeah, and you find yourself doing one of those.
I'm pretty good with names. You know, I'm pretty good with remembering names. No, my husband, David, he's not. He can remember faces better than he can names. But what I hate is when somebody comes up to you and you haven't seen that person for a while and they start talking to you like, oh, how you been? You know, I'm like, good, you know, and because that happened to David and I not too long ago, and David asked me, he says, who was that person? And I said, let me stop and think for a little bit. And then I remembered who it was, but it was just, you know, I hate that, you know, when that, you know, because they're talking to you like, oh, how you been? I haven't seen you in a while, well, you know, and you're like, oh, I'm good. And then you're trying, and you don't want to be rude because you don't want to say, okay, I think I recognize you, but who are you again? You don't want to ask them who they are, you know, you don't want to ask them who they are, but, you know. But it's just,
yeah,
it's crazy sometimes.
I'm good for doing the psychic routine where, you know, the psychic guys that say they're speaking to your dead relatives and everything on TV. I'm the guy that will walk up to somebody and somebody will start talking to me and I'll think about somebody at work that everybody knows. And I'll go, yeah, you know, I was talking to Eric the other day and the people who work the Sam's with me know who Eric is. So when the people get that perplexed look, I'm like, okay, they ain't a Sam's person. So I whittle that down. I'm like, ah, yeah, well, you know, and I saw Mike too, you know, and they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, you know, I was just in the store the other day, I was talking to Mike, and I'm going, okay, this is the Food Lion person. So, and you're able to whittle it down over a certain amount of time, and then, you know, you say goodbye to them, and then about 4 o'clock in the morning, you roll over in bed, you're going, I know who that dude is now. You know, but if there's something that happened, and a good example, I broke my leg. 4 years old, I broke my leg. Okay, I broke my left femur. Okay, close to my hip, I broke it jumping off of the couch. I landed on a striped pillow. One of my brother's squeaky baby toys was under it, and I think I just landed wrong on the pillow, but it was a little fox with a derby on his head, okay? and he was holding a cane. He's like one of these little English-looking guys, but he was a fox, and it was plastic, because you remember back in the early 70s, all the, you know, baby toys were just like squeaky dog toys almost. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I landed on it. I was just talking about it the other night. I remember my foot twisting around backwards. It scared the piss out of me. I was a four-year-old kid. Your foot ain't supposed to go in that direction. It was Thanksgiving Day, okay? Robinson Crusoe, the miniseries starring Richard Chamberlain, was on the TV set. This was 1974. How do I remember this stuff? Because the shit happened, and it was traumatic, and it burned a hole in my damn psyche, and it burned a hole in my brain, and I don't forget. I could remember it like it happened yesterday. All right. So going back to these guys, you know, the Bob Lazars, or, you know, this guy, I can't remember his name to save me, the one that got abducted, you know, fire in the sky guy. If you have that kind of stuff happening to you, you ought to be able to have that imprinted in your, embedded, just totally tattooed on your mental. You can't walk away from that kind of stuff. You can't forget that kind of stuff. That's why we have PTSD. That's why we have people with, you know, multiple personalities and that kind of stuff. It's because you can't get rid of those thoughts, and they are so embedded in your psyche. So when these guys get on there and they're able to tell these stories over and over and over with the exact same details, you want to make me a believer? That's how you do it.
Yep.
All right, I got one
now
for you.
Hit it.
And it might be a little bit more of a, I guess, darker. And I thought of something else, and I'm like, nah, I'm not going to go down that road because it'll cross over and tie into something else stupid. But here is one, a decent question. I personally don't know which way to swing on this. Flight 93, the plane crash. It was taken over by terrorists, crashed in Pennsylvania. Was it or was it not actually shot down?
Nobody can tell, because when that plane hit, the plane was obliterated. I mean, there was nothing to really research. And there's no – now, I can tell you this, and this is something that we need to do a show on one night, is the different things that are out there. As a matter of fact, I kind of alluded to it in the green room, how there's different things out there, Loch Ness monsters, UFOs, chupacabras, all that kind of stuff. The big telltale thing for me these days is what each one of us have in our hands right now. In 1975, when you say the Mothman dry humped my Toyota on the way home last night, okay? And I say, well, did you get a picture of it? Well, I didn't have my Polaroid or my remember the Kodaks with the magic cubes, okay? There was a relative doubt that you had to give the person, because who was carrying around a Polaroid in their glove box in 1975? Not a lot of people. Not a lot of people can afford the damn things, much less have them in their glove box. But nowadays, everybody has a phone, okay? That's what killed me about Biden the other day when he was talking to these folks trying to migrate. Here are people who have nothing, and they've taken everything they own, put it in a damn sea bag, strapped it to their back, and with their children in tow, wade through waist-deep water to get to the United States. And he says, if you want to get in, go to soandso.gov, get on the app. And I'm going, do you honestly think these people got internet service? If that ass ain't got no home. But apparently, according to our wonderful leader, everybody has a cell phone. So going back to my point is, right now, with UFOs, the reason why UFOs are getting so much attention now is because it's not just crazy-ass Joanne down the street who saw the lights. She went and got her damn phone and took video of it. And now when she comes up to you and says, hey, I saw three pink lights over my house, and you go, what were you drinking last night, Joanne? And she pulls her phone out and shows it to you. Guess what? Now she has some damn evidence. And that right there, to me, is going to be the deal breaker on a lot of this stuff. If you're able to whip that phone out, and I don't know if you guys have seen the video of this this plane that just went down in Nepal. There were people on that plane that knew that they were in a world of shit and got on FaceTime and got on Facebook and got in, were calling family members and was saying, you know, something's going on with this plane. And ba-boom, all you see is flames. Scary stuff to watch, man. It'll terrify the hell out of you watching these things. But with Flight 93, we didn't have that luxury. All we have is our imaginations. What we know is that the plane went down. We know the plane was obliterated. So was it shot down? There's a relative doubt that it was. Because we have nothing. And seeing that the other three made their targets, and the fourth one didn't, I don't know. You know, that's a good point, Tim. Very good point. Because by the time the fourth one went down on what was going on, we weren't totally right. Positive, but we were about 90% positive that we were under attack by some type of extremist group. And
yeah,
we knew enough to take the most drastic action.
Yeah, there's a pretty good documentary out there. I don't remember the name of it. I'm sure there's more than one. But we always, you know, that's like the big thing of my era. Obviously, I wasn't around for Pearl Harbor or anything. So, but I always, you know, I didn't have any real close family. I do know people that were around the area. As I live my life, I meet more people that were close to it. In fact, there was a guy that I I won't say much about it. I won't give any of his identity away. There's somebody I know who had recently known who was actually stationed down the road from the Pentagon. I can't remember if he referred to it as an annex building or whatnot. And he happened to be doing something for his job, delivering some kind of paperwork or something, and so basically had to exit his building, go down the road, drop something off at either, I think it was either a federal bank or post office. It was something along those lines, some kind of administrative tasking. Was driving back down the road and saw the plane crash into the Pentagon, like right, I mean, it happened, you know, I think maybe he said maybe a half mile away from him or so. And it hit him. He was basically, from that point, they basically dropped what they were doing and they became first responders. They went down there and I don't know if first responder is the right word. Unfortunately, it was probably more just like a disaster kind of, search and rescue type, you know, that's probably the better way to put it. But anyway, he gets pissed, and he told me he's literally gotten into physical altercations when people start telling him that shit was all made up and it was really a missile hitting. So I don't want to confuse anything and take it to that level. But where I started to talk before I rambled on there is one of the documentaries I saw did a really good job of showing it was from the government standpoint. And they've got pictures and so forth from Air Force One. Because as you know, as soon as something like that happens, first thing they're going to do, make sure the president's safe. They get him, and I can't remember if he was already in flight. I cannot remember. No, he wasn't. I remember he was at a school talking
to children.
He was reading
the kids. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And someone briefed him. Got him back on the plane. He's effectively there's some other details in there, but basically trying to run the show, figure out what the hell's happening from the sky. And they admit there were, you know, they were like, do we need to shoot this thing down? Is it going to hit its target? Are they going for the White House? Do we need to take action? And the way that the documentary describes it to you is they ultimately did not take that action because the plane hit the ground. But there's always been the question, did that really happen? Or
right.
did they end up shooting that thing down knowing it was going to hit the White House or something else? I don't know.
Because either story works. And that's the thing that makes
right.
that one tough is
right.
that, you
right.
know, could there have been acts of terrorism or terrorism, acts of heroism, better yet, by the people on the plane? Because, you know, when you reach a point where you have nothing left to lose, you know, there's always been talk about when people find out that they're going to die, when they've been told that they have terminal illnesses or something, that fears suddenly just kind of leave their bodies, you know, where they used to have, you know, fear of heights or fear of water or something to that effect. It just doesn't affect them anymore. You know, if they're getting the information on that, which I'm sure everybody who was on a flight that day, whether it was in Arizona or Hawaii or wherever, people's phones were probably blowing up on these planes. You know, are you okay? There's something going on in New York. There's something going on in Washington. I'm sure these people somehow or another, and we do have documentation that some of these passengers were calling their loved ones from the plane. So obviously they knew something was going down, was relayed the information, and there's a very, very strong possibility that somehow or another some very heroic, selfless people took charge and somehow or another made the ultimate sacrifice and saved an awful lot of damn lives. But just the same, though, with the timing of it, you gotta wonder if indeed there was some type of intervention. And imagine, look how well, I shouldn't say well, God, that's a poor choice of words. Look how everybody came together in 9/11. I think it was Charles Krauthammer, and I might be wrong. That gentleman's passed. He was a genius. I miss Krauthammer. He was awesome. I think it was him that said, we almost have to have a 9/11 every 20, 30 years to reunite. You know, we had World War I. You know, we had the Civil War. And after the Civil War, people kind of was like, okay, you know, we don't need to let that shit happen again. We need to work things out better. World War I. People came out of World War I just kind of going, hey, you know, all right, let's get along. Pearl Harbor happened. Everybody came together. When 9/11 hit, everybody dropped their stuff. Everybody that was showing their ass for one reason or another, no matter what their political beliefs or religious beliefs, they dropped it. And they came together and united as one, as Americans. Could you imagine if there's even an iota of a truth to the fact that we shot down Flight 93, what it would do to that unity? You know what I mean? It would just totally destroy the entire thing. So, arguably, if there are things that need to be kept secret,
right,
I would vote that that's one of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, look at that. And I think that's almost where you could say the whole term conspiracy theory, or the idea probably was birthed, is just the idea that, I mean, let's face it, and I think even the movie Men in Black says it. I don't remember which one points to it, but individuals and persons are smart. We're like the smartest species there is, right? People in a whole are dumb as shit. People will buy off on anything. Think of all the that went out with political agendas over the whole COVID thing. You wouldn't believe the shit I was hearing, and people just eat it up. Eat it up with a spoon. Anything they see on the internet, I can't believe that. They're buying all the false conspiracy theories. But the fact is, I think that the whole concept started off because people in general are just dumb. And the less they know, the better off they are. You know, some shit just needs to stay in-house because nobody else gets it. You can apply that to them every situation you can think of. Any organization, there's crap that we don't want to tell our auditors. Is it because we're doing something nefarious? No. It's because they don't understand it. And if they do, you know, hear about certain things, well, they don't get it. So they start making up their own ideas and their own false, you know, whatever. And it's like, no, the idiots don't get it. That's why we don't give the shit to you, because you don't understand it, and you just ask dumb questions about it. And then we got to spend,
kinda like,
you know,
the
months.
Old saying goes, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yeah. Well, the same thing could be said about this whole Kennedy assassination, if you stop and think about it, okay? Let me throw this out. Let me throw this ball at you guys, okay? Let's just say Lee Harvey Oswald – we all know he's a nitwit. If you've ever done any listening, reading, watching, meditating, whatever the hell, on the Kennedy assassination, you find out more about Oswald. Oswald was a dipshit. He was a very intelligent guy, but he was a dipshit. And we all know him. The guys who know quantum physics but have a hard time getting mail out of the mailbox every afternoon. We all know at least one guy like that. So if you ask me, if it was cut and dried, kind of like when John Hinckley shot Reagan, okay, there's no investigating that because he's an asshole. He's still an asshole. And they let him out there. Of course, now I say that, he might be listening. He's out on the loose now. But we know that he did it because he's a nitwit, all right? If Oswald did it alone and got those shots off alone, why are we still talking about it? Why are those things still – why is the investigation still classified? Because, again – there's one consensus. Oswald was an asshole. Everybody agrees on that. So if he acted alone, why doesn't the paperwork and the investigation come to light? And the second paragraph, first line of the second paragraph says Lee Harvey Oswald was an asshole. And it puts the whole thing to bed. But the reason why the damn paperwork has not been brought to daylight is because it wasn't just him. He might have had something to do with it. And maybe he's the most honest guy in the whole thing when he said, I'm a patsy. Because all the major players that Dr. John alluded to earlier, all of them had a beef with Kennedy. And, you know, let's say you have a beef with me, okay? And Granny, you just happened to talk to Tim on the phone 2 weeks from now, and you're going, yeah, you know, I hate like crazy to say it, but Dave's an asshole. And Tim says, you know what? I was thinking the same thing, but I didn't want to say anything, you know, but, you know, yeah, man, he is an asshole. He's a pain in the ass. He's a dumbass, you know. So down the line, Dr. John talks to Tim, and Tim mentioned something about Dave, and Dr. John says,
Yeah, you know, I hate like hell to say it about Dave, but he's an asshole. And before you know it, Tim says, well, you know what? I was just talking to Granny. She thinks he's an asshole too. So now you've got three people who think I'm an asshole. Now, you guys are.
Conversations or something?
Yes, I have. I have all your homes bugged. Now you know. Now
the truth comes out. The truth comes out.
Y'all will have a wink of sleep for the next month. You'll be tearing the sheetrock out of your houses trying to find the bug that I put in your homes. But there's a united front now that the three of y'all think I'm an asshole. So what happens next? He's an asshole. We got to get him out because he's an asshole. And if you look at all these guys, the communists, and that's Oswald was a communist, okay? We already know that J. Edgar Hoover was a closet homosexual, okay? And Kennedy was a womanizer. He was everything that a homosexual hates in a guy, okay? You had Lyndon B. Johnson, who was probably one of the most corrupt and crude guys in politics back in those days, if not the most crude. I mean, this is the guy who hired damn strippers and stuff for presidential dinners, for Christ's sake. This guy was no saint by any stretch of the imagination, okay? And he had very, very high aspirations politically until JFK showed up with his perfect hair and screwed everything up, okay? He got the mob. Mob had a problem with his dad. Mob had a problem with his brother. J. Edgar Hoover had a problem with his brother. The communists had a problem with him because he was talking about, well, we had the Bay of Pigs. So you've got all these different entities that have absolutely no common thread. They have no common ground. They have nothing to talk about amongst one another except for one thing. Kennedy's an asshole. So they take the biggest asshole of the group, who is Oswald, and they give him an instruction. And he's an asshole. And he follows through on his asshole orders because he thinks he's doing something important. He's going to fix things because he's an asshole. So he does what he's supposed to do. The other entities make sure it gets done, okay? And then Oswald talks. I'm a patsy. And the other people go, oh, shit, he's talking. Enter Jack Ruby, who is what? An asshole. So, you know, assholes can be useful from time to time. And I still, to this moment, you know, when you talk about who assassinated JFK, are you speaking of who pulled the trigger or who organized it? I think he was assassinated via committee, but I think he was shot by Oswald and one other individual. And that's where your grassy knoll comes in. So, again, somebody's listening and going, man, Dave's an asshole. But if it doesn't have some teeth, if that theory doesn't have some credence to it, bring the classified document, all of them, not just some of them. I don't want to know what JFK ate for breakfast that morning. That doesn't matter. I want all those documents released and brought to the light. So in that way, it's going to shut a lot of people up. You know? So, I don't know. Anyhow, we are drifting deep in the extra innings because I keep ranting about assholes. I'm sure there's some proctologists out there right now that appreciates me using the word so many times, giving credence to his profession. Nevertheless, we're going to kick it around the room real quick, do a quick final parting shot since we're in extra inning. So, Granny Hulkster, how about throwing out some parting shots, young lady?
Well, I just hope that everybody has a great rest of the week and be good to each other and take care of your loved ones and just, you know, be safe out there, you know, because lots of craziness going on in the world right now, unfortunately. And, you know, I just hope that, you know, everybody stays well and stays healthy and just, you know, good vibes to everybody out there. And, you know, love you guys. And it's always a fun time when we all can get together on Wednesday nights to do this and just great times, you know, so.
That's right. And we could talk about assholes, right?
Well, I could tell you something that my son Anthony said about me the other day.
What was that?
That I could be a little heelish at times.
Ah.
And he's kind of given me, kind of added a new gimmick name to the Granny Hulkster thing. Now he thinks I should be called Granny Hollywood Villain Hulkster. And I said, absolutely not. I said, absolutely not. No way. And Granny's not turning heel. So, Stro, if you're out there listening, I'm not turning heel. So don't start playing that Jimi Hendrix Voodoo Child music like you always do.
Had to paint in a little beard for you and the whole nine yards, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Outstanding. Well done, Anthony. Well, Granny, I appreciate you joining us this evening. Always good to have you
aboard. You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
And I hope the week goes well or better is the word I will use, as we can all use a little bit of upturn in our week this week, because I think all of us are kind of having a rough one. But nevertheless,
mm-hmm.
Great to have you aboard here. Thank you so
much. Thank you.
Tim, what kind of parting shots do you have, sir?
Oh, already off to me. Parting shots here. Hang on a second. Let me try to get the cats out of the garage. Go on. There you go. Nope. Sorry about that. So awesome show. I enjoy talking about having conspiracy theories. Pretty cool. We're all going to have Men in Black showing up on our doorsteps for various things, such as bringing up Area 51, Flight 93, all kinds of good stuff. But now I just hope everyone has a good week. I'll be working from home for the rest of the week, so I don't have to deal with any traffic. Looking forward to finishing off without having to go into the office. I don't. Other than that, I have a pretty boring, simple go to work, take care of the family type of life. So no major events coming up. We've got a whole slew of birthdays. My kids, which is same day as Stroh's, I believe, be coming up here in a couple weeks. So that's coming up fast. You know, counting down the days of winter going away. So actually, so far, it's not really that bad. And if you think about it, we're already almost a third of the way. I think by the time we meet, yeah, because it's just in a few days, we are right smack right around a third of the way over with winter, believe it or not. So with that being said, I'll turn it on over to the next one, and everyone have a great week.
Outstanding. Yeah, it's great to have you aboard this evening. And, you know, it's hard to believe we're already 18 days deep into January. I mean, the sooner the better for this year, because me and the threes don't get along real good. It's a long story with a short ending. But, yeah, I actually saw St. Patrick's Day stuff up in the stores today, and I'm going, did I miss Valentine's Day? But, yeah, I was thinking I was saving a couple bucks, and I had already missed Valentine's Day, but then I turned the corner and saw a bunch of pink, and I said, damn, okay. And hadn't slept through Valentine's Day. I'm still going to be in the red. But
you still have to buy Dale something, don't you?
Yeah, I reckon. As if my charming personality ain't enough, I guess I'm going to have to go out there and, in the words of Joe Exotic, I may never financially recover from this. That's another show topic. We need to do a show on the Tiger King. That was epic stuff. Nevertheless, Tim, fantastic to have you aboard tonight, young man. Thank you so much for joining us. And Dr. John, the good news man of the show tonight. He's hogging all the sunshine this week. Everything's going good for Dr. John, which is fantastic because normally Dr. John is paddling the same dookie canoe that we are. So it's good to see Dr. John winning.
Good to see one of us has good vibes going on right now.
No kidding, huh? At least there's a fighting shot, you know? There's still hope.
There's still hope for us out there.
Damn right. So, Dr. John, what kind of parting shot do you have, sir?
The Jacksonville Comic-Con has moved to July the 15th due to some marvelous circumstance, actually due to good luck. So, Jacksonville Comic-Con is no longer February 18th. It is July the 15th. There's our parting shot for me.
Very good. Appreciate you joining us this evening. And it's good. All the good news was very much welcome. Couldn't be happier for you. And I'm glad things are heading in that direction for you because, Lord knows, I've seen you on enough rainy days where seeing you stand in the sunshine does my heart a lot of good. So, appreciate you joining us this evening very much. And for me, just real quick, like, I'm going to echo what everybody else has been saying tonight is more now than ever. I know we, a lot of times, you know, in our good brother Todd's words is try to take care of one another. Big hugs, people. I think now it means more than ever. There's a lot of crazy, crazy stuff going on out there. Stuff that you can't make up. And I'm a guy who has 3 published novels, and I'm standing there looking at the news every day, scratching my head, going, damn, I couldn't, you know. I'm a fiction writer and could not come up with this stuff. How in the hell is that happening for real? We need to come together and focus a little more on the positive, be honest about the negative, but don't let it steer everything you do. Don't let it steer your thoughts. Don't let it steer your actions. Try to make things better instead of adding to the worst. So with all that, I am getting the signal from the janky back door of Atwell Manor that the internet is not up. Because I got Rob giving me the shrug and the hands going up in the air because he obviously was watching something. The bad news about janky internet and TV now. Everybody's got smart TVs. So when the internet's fluttering, your fat ass can't even watch TV now. So, problem, I guess.
No,
nevertheless.
Wait a second, Dave. You say everyone has a smart TV. I've got a dumb TV. It plays Little Rascals and the Three Stooges.
I don't have a smart TV. I just have a regular flat-screen TV.
I'm sorry. Did I finally make a funny joke? Finally.
They're not dumb TVs. They're just intelligent in their own special way TVs. We have to use the proper vernacular for it now. So. But with that being said,
I had to get it on. Dave, I got to say something again. It's always such a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Hey, and it's great to have you back. Been missing you. I didn't realize how much you were adding to it until you were gone. Wow. So having you back has been a because I was spending all my time roasting you. I never took the time to appreciate what you put in. But it has been very, very, very good having you back. And look forward to doing some more chatting about
various topics. We need to send our well wishes out to our good friends Todd and Velvet and Papa Stro out there too, guys. You know.
Yeah, it's out there in truth. Yeah, those gentlemen are having their ups and downs just the same, and wishing nothing but good stuff heading their way, because Lord knows they can. All those gentlemen can stand a break just the same, without a doubt. So what I'm going to do is I am going to do the manual shutoff for the British lady from out here in the wilderness, since I have no internet and there's no need in queuing her in that way. So we'll be signing off. I want to thank everybody for joining us here at Pop Culture Stars. We will see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. And maybe I'll break the record of the use of the word asshole next week, topping this week's asshole count. Just trying to make a damn mark here, people. Because I'm an asshole. All right, guys. British lady.
Good night, everybody.
Where are you at?
I got bad news. Everybody. We're coming back. Take care.
That's right. With the assholes in arms. Here we go. Good night, everybody. British.
Good night.
Good night.
British.